Michihiro, paper 13.
Okay, thank you. Agenda paper 13, corporate wrapper issue. I know this issue is very complicated, but because this is maybe my last presentation in interpretation committee before returning to the firm, so please be very nice to me. thank you very much. This issue is a bit controversial, I know. This issue relates to the issue that the committee discussed yesterday about whether acquisition of property with existing tenants is treated as a business combination or not. If that transaction is treated as a business combination, this issue doesn't arise. But I understand the committee hasn't reached a conclusion yesterday, and there are a number of people who still believe that transaction, the acquisition of single property should sometime be accounted for as acquisition asset rather than business combination. So in that situation, also, if the transaction business combination, I think many people agree that IAS 12 is clear that default tax should be recognized for both inside-based difference and outside-based difference initially and also subsequently. But if the transaction acquisition of investment property through shares of a company is accounted for as asset acquisition rather than business combination, many people are questioning whether IAS 12 is clear enough as to whether deferred tax should be recognized subsequently, because deferred tax is not recognized initially because of initial recognition exception in IAS 12, paragraph 15. The situation which the issue arises is when an entity acquires shares of corporation whose only share is a property. The property is held in the form of a corporation because there are legal, regulatory, and tax benefits of this structure. For example, because sale of a share are tax-free in the jurisdiction, entity can dispose of the properties by through selling share for tax-free. Therefore, those people argue that they do not have to recognize deferred tax liability because they don't expect to pay any tax when they dispose of the property. So this is the issue. And the staff analyzed, explained the issue in through paragraph 3 to paragraph 7, and analyze the issue from paragraph 11. Submitter asked the issue in the context of tax base, but I should explain the paper focused more on expected manner of recovery rather than tax base, because the issue is often discussed in the context of expected manner of recovery rather than tax base, and also expected manner of recovery determines tax base, so basically discussing the expected manner of recovery is same as discussing the tax base. And as a result of staff analysis, we think that entity has to recognize, I mean, IS2 is clear that entity has to recognize default tax for both inside-based difference and outside-based difference. Therefore, I think IS2 is clear that entity has to recognize default tax liability on revaluation of property on inside-based difference. However, staff analysis continues. Staff thinks that question was asked just not because IS12 is clear or not, but because constituents were concerned about more fundamental problem in IS12. We think that accounting result, or some think that accounting result that we get from existing IS12 is not appropriate. The staff demonstrated some people's concern on why result of IS12 is may not be appropriate using an example in Appendix C. Staff had assessed the issue against agenda criteria, and we concluded that the issue fails to meet the agenda criteria. This is because, one, IS12 is clear, and two, issue root of issue is more complex, an issue should be dealt with in a board project rather than interpretation committee. For this reason, board staff recommend the committee to not to take this issue onto the agenda. And staff also propose in Appendix B the proposed wording for the tentative agenda decision. We would like to put the following question to the committee. Does the committee agree with the staff recommendation, staff analysis and staff recommendation not to take this issue onto the agenda? And the committee agree with proposal wording in Appendix B.
Andrew, why don't you start us off?
Well, just a question really, but to start with, from my education, why does the staff think that you have to recognise the deferred tax in respect in relation to the investment in the corporate wrapper, the outside basis difference? Because I thought the standard said you recognise deferred tax investment in subsidiaries unless. You know, that you don't have to recognise all the outside basis differences, do you? I mean, there's an exception in paragraph 1239, isn't there?
Yes, so maybe I should have said that if the exception applies, entity doesn't have to recognize the deferred tax liability, but in a general circumstance where exception doesn't apply, it has to. So I don't mean that all the cases, entity has to recognize the deferred tax liability.
But in this one, you would? Sorry, I'm just genuinely trying to understand. Why would... As I understood what you're saying in paragraph 24A, you're saying we need to recognise, well, I think, are you saying in paragraph 24A that there's two lots of deferred tax you need to account for?
Yep. Maybe I should have said that entity has to recognise deferred tax outside base difference unless exception in paragraph something should apply. So I didn't write this, but I should have. Thank you very much.
Okay. Scott, then Laurence.
So here another question. As paragraph 24 says, don't take it on the agenda because the requirements via S12 are clear, and in order to fix the problem, a more fundamental change to IAS-12 would be necessary. Then the agenda decision omits the part about IAS-12 being clear. Is there some reason for that?
Yes, no. There is a reason why. This is mixed effort of me and Michael, but probably the reason why we didn't mention about IS-12 is we thought that more fundamental concern that constituent raise this issue is lies in fundamental problem in IS-12 rather than how IS-12 should be read.
Right. Well, and the reason why I think this troubled me is because as I read the agenda decision, the fundamental concern about IS-12 wasn't clear to me because we didn't have a sentence that says, you know, we think IAS-12 requires you to record both unless you qualify for the exception in paragraph 39. Then we would go on and say resolving this would require a more fundamental change, so we're not taking it on the agenda. Without the sentence that says what we think IAS-12 tells you to do, the fact that there was a fundamental issue that would require bigger change was harder for me to follow. So it seemed like we were trying to avoid telling people what we think IAS 12 says, and so I was thinking maybe there was some reason we didn't want to tell them that.
We would avoid trying to simply write down it is clear without actually saying what it was about.
Right.
But I take your point about we could have, or we could still put in more information about what applies, which bits of IS-12 apply.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be my preference. I think right now we kind of allude to the fact that there's a fundamental concern with IAS-12, but we don't really say what it is.
I had similar concerns. Andrew?
similar to Scott, I mean, it seems to me that this is more an issue of people don't like the outcome rather than the standard not being clear, which that's not our immediate problem, is it?
All right. And then Gato.
Yes, I tend to agree that perhaps the issue is not so much IS-12, rather than understanding what is this asset. Isn't it, in fact, the issue about whether we are in the scope of IS-27, when you have an investment property framed in a corporate wrapper? Is it really a subsidiary? Do people consider it to be a subsidiary, or do they consider it to be just an asset? And so the challenge is whether there is indeed an outside basis difference for which deferred tax should be recognized. I think that's more where the problem lies, is that people do not believe, well, for those who do not believe that investment properties are businesses and consider it as an asset, the fact that you put it in a corporate wrapper for them is not a subsidiary, it's just an asset. And so in measuring the consequences, if effectively those assets are being traded with their corporate wrapper, it's intrinsically linked. And so in measuring the deferred tax consequences, they look at the tax consequences in selling the corporate wrapper with the assets. So I agree with Andrew. Well, it seems to me that it's not so much IS-12 that it's not clear, or we have an issue with IS-12. IS-12 says if you have a subsidiary, you have inside basis difference for those assets in the subsidiary, and you have an outside basis difference for which you account for under IS-12, and it depends on whether it is probable that the timing difference or temporary difference will reverse. That's very clear. The problem is, what is this asset?
Cato?
Two observations. One is with regards to the wording of our agenda rejection. When I read the request in the agenda rejection and compare it to Appendix B of the paper, it seems to be that, you know, that doesn't really cover. In the agenda rejection, we say, especially for investments of property at fair value, this is an issue and should at any circumstances deferred taxes reflect the disposal, whereas the submission was more general. Let's just say, well, should the tax base be the one attributed to the assets or to the shares? Mm-hmm. So I was wondering what stuff, you know, the wording, the rejection, agenda rejection seems to be different from the submission, but that's probably, we can fix that. That's not a problem. But I think we should reject it, but as Mitsuhiro said, this is a very complicated thing, and I need some education session from the staff on that, because we may have two situations, as I understand it, when you have this corporate wrapper. One is you sell the shares, and then let's say you don't pay any taxes. And the other one is you sell the asset, then you have to pay taxes, and maybe after that you also sell the shares.
Right.
So the second situation would be one where both tax bases should be calculated for IS-12 purposes. And now we have paragraph 39 in IS-12. And I was wondering, 39 tells you should recognize deferred tax liabilities on outside basis differences, that is the tax basis are the shares. But as long as the requirements in 39 are met, we would not recognize those deferred tax liabilities.
Right.
So in the situation where I would only sell the shares, but I'm not intending to sell the shares, I would not recognize anything. And in the other situations where I'm intending to sell the asset, I would just recognize the deferred tax liability for the asset. So I was wondering, taking 39 into account, will we really have a situation where both could apply? So where you had to calculate both?
I don't think intention comes into play on the difference in tax basis of the asset.
That's not a subsidiary. So we must recognize that one.
I agree. Okay, so and then intention comes into play when it comes to the shares.
Right, what I actually plan to do is sell the shares.
But when I want to sell the shares, I would be in a situation where I would only sell the shares and not the asset.
That's correct.
That's my point.
That's right, but we have to recognize, I think, on the asset. We don't get to say, I wouldn't sell the asset.
Okay, even in circumstances where I want to sell the shares,
I read that correctly? IAS 12, we must recognize it on the asset. On the shares, there might be a way out of recognizing it.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that there is a paragraph, wait a moment, 32. I think we have a IAS 12 paragraph 38, which says that we must recognize tax base and temporal difference or asset difference in addition to the tax base in paragraph 7 and 8, or when we recognize tax base in paragraph 7 and 8. So I think I agree with Scott that I just very clear that tax base should recognize both shared assets.
Right, so the inside basis difference we have to recognize, the outside basis difference we might not have to. So in real life, what we plan to do is sell the shares.
Okay, I got that.
So
I don't want to be a pain in the... And just one other question. My understanding always was, and IAS 12 is such a complicated standard, but maybe I'm wrong, that outside basis differences are all differences that are not already inside basis differences. Mm-hmm. So if there is a difference between the outside basis tax base and the financial statement tax base for the outside basis differences, which is created by inside basis difference because the value of the assets that is within the investment mm-hmm. is valued different or measured differently under tax accounting and IFRS, then that would not be an outside basis difference because it's already an inside basis difference. Yeah. And if this understanding is true, then do we really have outside basis differences in this case?
Right. I think IAS 12 paragraph 38 is the outside base difference is difference of book basis and tax basis investment in subsidiary and investment in subsidiary, book basis of investment subsidiary means the parent or investor's share of net asset or subsidiary. And inside base difference is the net asset or subsidiary against tax basis of each net asset. And outside base difference is above that level net asset of parents versus tax basis of investment. So I think it doesn't overlap. It's kind of a parallel thing. I think it's quite hard to explain this.
It's because both corporations could have tax, so the subsidiary has tax attributes and then the parent has tax attributes. So the subsidiary has tax attributes of the assets it owns, which is the property in this case, and then the parent has tax attributes of what it owns, which is the subsidiary, and the outside and inside basis differences could both result in tax, well, except in the case where selling the shares generates no tax, which is the example. But if you had a 40% tax rate that applied to both, you could conceivably be forced to pay both taxes.
Hey, Long, did you have a light on at some point?
Yeah.
Okay, and then John and Andrew.
In Chinese market, this is actually common, very common in China, but it will not so obviously if it is only related to a Chinese parent and Chinese subsidiary, because the tax rate is the same. But if it is a foreign company to host the Chinese wrappers in a single investment properties, the complexity may exist because different percentage of withholding tax may be levied on the disposal of those shares. But anyway, agree the issue is pervasive and technically it could not be resolved immediately without any fundamental review. So I would suggest the issue should be one of the topic in for the board instead of IFRI.
John?
I understand that the issue might be more theoretical than practical, or maybe varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, because I believe that the different tax on the asset has to be recorded. That under IS-12, there is no choice, but the outside the tax on the different tax on the shares, I believe that the argument is that is made in practice is that you can avoid the tax by not selling the shares. And I believe that the vast majority of cases is simply that you resolve the issue by saying, I can just sell the asset, not the share. I believe you qualify for the exemptions.
Paragraph 39, right?
Of paragraph 39. So, I mean, that's a nice theoretical discussion, but I think there is a very practical solution to the problem of what appears to be double counting of different taxes.
Andrew?
So just go back to the conversation between Guido and Scott. I thought the question we're being asked is, can we avoid providing deferred tax on the inside basis difference on the property, on the asset, because we're going to sell the shares and we won't, as a matter of fact, pay any tax? I thought that's the question we're being asked. Not how to account for outside basis differences and stuff like that. Okay. So that is the question.
And I thought I heard several people saying the answer to that question is no.
No, you can't avoid it.
So our rejection notice is we're not going to do this, and the answer is no. You cannot avoid.
I think the bit about the fixing the submitter's concern would require a fundamental change to IS-12. I think that's fine.
Yeah, but that actually what I was going to do then is to suggest that we you talked about adding some wording to the rejection notice,
yeah,
which I think does bring you around to saying, and by the way, you can't avoid.
Yeah, that's the wording.
And that the more fundamental question is theoretical or conceptual in 12. Any objections to a rejection worded along those lines? Okay. Laurence, you're objecting or commenting?
Commenting that I'm aware in several jurisdictions that effectively deferred tax are being provided on the asset side, so inside basis differences, but using the tax rates applicable to the corporate wrapper rather than the asset itself, because this is how the asset is going to be going to be recovered. It's quite large practice in real estate, because you had many jurisdictions with tax regimes where effectively you are not imposed, you are not taxed on the sales of the corporate wrappers, whereas you would if you were just disposing of the investment property. And the markets, the way the trades are being done, is by trading the corporate wrappers rather than investment properties.
So you're saying that the tax rate on the sale of the wrapper is zero? And so the tax rate that you would apply to the inside basis is also zero?
Or it may be reduced. I mean, it may be zero, it may be 20, when otherwise the tax rates on the asset would be 30, whatever. I don't know all the tax regimes. But I'm just saying that it's a widespread issue. It's a widespread issue, and I'm aware that this is what is being done.
I think that's what we're saying. It's clear that you have to recognize that tax, the deferred taxes related to the inside basis difference. Mm.
At the rate appropriate for the asset rather than the wrapper.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wayne, can I mention, I understand the issue. Some people make argument over this issue based on unit of account, and I think Wayne's argument is based on unit of account. Some people say this is not the deferred tax on investment in subsidy or whatever. They think they invest, they account for the property as a unit account. They don't consider they have invested in shares, so they don't see shares in
They think they've invested in an asset, and there's a way to sell that asset at a 0% or a 10% tax rate.
They just ignore shares.
Rather than the 20% tax rate.
Yeah. So from their view, they just have an inside-based difference. They don't have outside-based difference. And tax rate they applied is, in practice, the tax rate for
sale of shares. Because they've been able to change the form of the asset into one that has a lower tax rate. Applied to it.
I'm not sure if that
problem. Well, now this rejection notice is getting really wordy.
Ruth?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm concerned about. I had some other questions about the staff analysis. One of the things you mentioned in the paper was that the board, in looking at IS 12, had considered whether or not to address corporate wrappers and decided not to, but invited affected jurisdictions to write in and help solve the problem. So I'm a bit concerned that we then go and issue an agenda decision that says, here's the solution and it's clear. The other thing which we haven't discussed is the initial recognition exemption, which I think in your example you say applies to the property in your calculation, but not to the shares. So I think there are a number of issues that you've assumed and applied in your analysis, which to me mean quite a lengthy agenda decision to explain your conclusion, with which most people seem to agree but feel there's some possible issues with. I would have preferred to have stuck to the original wording, which says this is a big issue. The board had started to address it but hadn't completed it. It's not just IS 12. It's initial recognition exemption, it's size 27, et cetera, and we'll leave it to the board and their project. And so I would have preferred to have stuck with the original decision and leave it as it is. I mean, even the terminology of inside and outside differences doesn't, I can't see it in those paragraphs that you're referring to, and it's become sort of lingo, but it's not in IS 12. So I just think it's a step too far.
So Ruth's proposal is that we stick with the wording as is. You wouldn't even add Scott's addition? Okay. I have Gato's light flashing and Andrew's before we try and call the question.
I'm still with Scott. I don't think that there is a lot of confusion by adding just one sentence that says you need to calculate deferred taxes also on the asset. We are not using inside and outside basis difference wording. That's not what I've heard from Scott. So the only thing we are saying is, yes, IS 12 tells you to always recognize deferred taxes on the temporary differences for the asset. Full stop.
The rate that applies to the asset.
Do you want to specify the rate? I mean, the question, and as I saw it, was predominantly about do you or do you not recognize. Not, I know there is also the question about, and then what rate do you apply? But most of the analysis has obviously been done on do you or do you not recognize, and I just question whether you also want to add in the issue about the rate in addition to that.
I would have thought it would be clear what right. But Lawrence is saying it won't be clear.
Well, I think it's clear. Andrew, you wanted to come in?
I was just, I would have some concerns if we stuck with the existing gender decision. I'm not quite sure what the paragraph about assets accounted for at fair value, why, I'm not sure I follow that. I'm not quite sure I know what the words "note to the issue cannot be resolved efficiently within the confines of IS 12 mean. Does that mean we just don't like the answer? And I'm just concerned that it's so open-ended, it's just going to increase diversity rather than reduce it.
Let me make a stab here.
Andrew has made the point, and I think a couple of others have, that the third paragraph says the issue cannot be resolved. And I've heard people say, well, yes, the issue can be resolved. It may not be resolved in a manner that people like, but it's not a question. So it is correct to say that changing the answer would require a fundamental change, but that the verb to solve, I think, is one that several people have found troublesome. So that we need to significantly change the third paragraph. Then the question is whether we add, and I think Scott and Gato had in mind a sentence, maybe two sentences is all. And I did see disagreement around that. So let me ask, who would object to amending it in the manner described by Scott and Gato to add that bit, which is that you have to recognize the tax. We ain't going to tell you at what rate, because there's debate about that, but you have to recognize. Who would object to adding that to the rejection notice? Okay. Is there anything else, then, that we need to do with the rejection notice? Okay, I think we're done. I don't know about you guys, but the mere mention of inside and outside basis makes my stomach hurt. Okay, now we have... Is Patrick in the room? Now, before Patrick starts, this is the last paper, the last technical paper, that we have to do.